And so we will start with the motion, Hunn versus Cuomo.
Good morning, Your Honors. Jeffrey Lang on behalf of appellant. I'd like to reserve 1 minute for rebuttal.
We don't usually reserve allow rebuttal on motions, but let's make sure your colleague on the other side is on as well. Mr. Speroni, are you on? Oh, there you go.
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Lang, go ahead.
The court should stay the preliminary injunction pending appeal in this case. We made a strong showing that appellant is likely to succeed on the merits, appellant being the state liquor authority, the commissioner, and will suffer irreparable injury in the absence of a stay. Let me just say, a brief word about the SLA guidance that's at issue here, which is all that it does is it allows for a narrow exception for music that's incidental to the dining experience. While live music, live concerts, just like all other types of live performances, comedy shows, and so on, are barred. And the state's expert gave a number of reasons for that, because for a live concert, attendees tend to coordinate arrival and departure. They tend to stay for the entire concert, which is a prolonged amount of time indoors. Consume more alcohol and so forget about the social distancing rules. Singing and shouting, so expelling respiratory droplets. And for that reason, this is a higher risk activity that the state has banned. We're likely to succeed in the merits for two reasons. One, because there's no standing, because live concerts at all event spaces, and this would include restaurants and bars, are prohibited by pre-existing executive orders and Department of Health guidance that the appellant hasn't challenged. We're also likely to succeed on the merits of plaintiff's First Amendment claim. Now, we agree, in light of this court's recent decision in Agudath Israel, that the analysis that applies is ordinary intermediate level scrutiny applicable to content neutral time, place, manner restrictions. We readily passed that test. As the district court indeed found in this case, this restriction is content neutral. Now, the court was concerned about under-inclusiveness, but under-inclusiveness is simply not fatal in this case. In other circumstances, it may indicate that the government isn't pursuing the interest that it purports to be pursuing and is instead targeting a particular speaker or viewpoint. That is plainly not so here. The state's only goal here is to prevent the spread of COVID. And in addition to that, the court cited two types of, activities that weren't banned, trivia nights and movie theaters. And as we set forth in our papers, there are very good reasons for restricting those activities,
I'd like to ask you more about irreparable harm, because my general view in these cases is that when we try to guess the merits on a situation like this, we often get it wrong, and it's much better to see that the merits are handled in a final case where it is decided. Now, what is the irreparable harm from your point of view, and what is it from the point of view of the appellee?
From our point of view, Your Honor, the irreparable harm is that there's now a lot of unclarity about whether the SLA commissioner can enforce this rule against live concerts, which can potentially be super spreader events. In the next few months, it is absolutely critical the state is clear about its authority to enforce these restrictions at a time when the virus is surging. And already this preliminary injunction has caused confusion about the SLA's commissioner. If the SLA commissioner enforces this, attempts to enforce this rule, he can well say, well, I'm only enforcing the pre-existing executive orders, which bar live concerts at all event spaces. But he's subject to contempt of court if he does that.
To follow up on that, all live concerts now under the preliminary injunction, all live concerts are banned except if there is a the establishment serves liquor? I'm not quite sure how the two tie in together.
No, under the pre-existing executive orders of the governor, all live indoor concerts, music concerts, all types of performances are banned, are currently prohibited. And, you know, all the...
So you're saying the plaintiff would be banned anyway by the executive order.
And that's why there's no standing, but there's now a lot of confusion about that, Your Honor, because of the preliminary injunction, which bars the state from enforcing this simple distinction between high-risk live concerts and just low-risk incidental music, which is all that the guidance allowed and all that we were attempting to do.
May I ask you, aren't you subject to an injunction in another case by order of a state court judge?
We are, and we are expeditiously pursuing an appeal of that injunction.
So
it's the same guidance.
Why do you need an order from this court? You're not going to be able to enforce this directive in any event. I mean, it would seem to me we could expeditiously hear the appeal here, and that would be another matter. But why should we stay anything when you're subject to an injunction already?
Because we're seeking expedited review and reversal of that injunction
right,
in the
well,
state
that
appellate
was,
division.
That was decided in September. What's the status of that matter?
The status is that we are about to perfect it. We are proceeding as expeditiously as we can to have that overturned.
But my point is, you may be proceeding expeditiously. How quickly are you going to get a decision out of the state court on that injunction? And in any event, why should we hear you want to stay here until you've secured that a stay of that order?
I mean, we could get it as soon as a few weeks or a month. It's hard to know what we're going
but
to
if
ask
that
for.
Is, but if that is so, why wouldn't it be perfectly appropriate for us to expedite the case and to say that should you be that injunction be lifted, you can come and seek a stay immediately here. You know, we don't take very long. You can go for a stay. It goes to a motions panel, and you're there within a few days. So the moment you get the other one lifted, you can come and try to get this one lifted. But why should we do it now? I mean, again, I'm thinking in terms of irreparable harm. What is the irreparable harm to you if we don't do anything except expedite and say come back when the other one is done?
Well, I mean, because the other court is saying the opposite to us, which is we'll get the other court could say we'll get the federal injunction lifted. So we're stuck between the two. We're proceeding expeditiously in both tracks. And at this critical time, every week makes a difference. It's really urgent. And like I said, we're proceeding as expeditiously as we can to get both orders reviewed, and where, you know, we think we will be able to get the state injunction overturned.
Well, you know, one of the reasons that the injunction was entered by the state was that the state court judge articulated various actions that could reasonably be taken in that judge's view with respect to restaurants. That's quite different from holding events in a large venue and all of that. Is that being pursued at all? In other words,
well,
more tailored requirements?
The tailored requirements are, you know, you can't have a live indoor concert.
But you know what I want me to quote the state court judge? You know what I'm talking about.
I guess I'm not sure, Your Honor. I mean, we don't think there was, we think the state court judge seemed to think that it was, an arbitrary distinction between an incidental, allowing incidental music and allowing live music, and that it was based just on advertising. And our point was, no, it's not just the advertising, it's you can't hold the event, itself.
Right, the state court, the transcript before the state court goes 42 pages, so it's more than that. But I won't pursue it. I think you're well over your time. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
We'll hear from the other side.
Your Honors, thank you. Peter Disferoni for appellee Michael Hunt. The court should deny the stay. The incidental music rule is not only arbitrary, it's completely absurd.
Wait a second. Who are we to start saying what distinctions make sense where economics as well as well-being are there? Why isn't it up to the state to say restaurants are important because we need to keep restaurants going and they'll collapse, and theaters and other things are not? These are economic decisions which are typically state court decisions. What you're asking us to do is, under the First Amendment, do precisely what the old court did in Roosevelt's time and decide for themselves what was worth doing in a state or not. So, frankly, I don't get it. I understand the religion cases because of a particular language of the First Amendment with respect to religion. But to expand that into other things seems to me to be getting into wild things. Now, you have a strong argument in terms of the existence of a state stay, but the merits of it, my goodness.
Yes, Your Honor. The reason that the incidental music rule doesn't make sense is because the patrons are already inside the venue by the time the incidental music rule takes effect. They're already sitting at the same table, drinking the same alcohol, eating the same hamburger that the person who attends a main draw, quote-unquote, concert the next day may be attending.
But there's a view that people are inclined to drink more if they're there to be entertained than if they are simply having a meal. Now, that might be debatable, but as Judge Calabresi says, that's the kind of thing that state policymakers get to decide, isn't it?
There isn't any evidence that was presented in the 277 pages from Dr. Dufert that would show any data.
I understand that, but what started this line of questioning is your statement that this was absurd. And we're not so sure of that. But I have another question for you. You're subject to executive orders that aren't going to let you play music tomorrow, whether we keep this stay in place or not. Why isn't there the standing argument of the state worthy of our adoption?
We challenged the constitutional authority of Executive Order 202 and then the stemming guidance from that from March when New York went on pause the first time. So we challenged the constitutional authority to make advertising music illegal.
That doesn't seem to be clear and certainly wasn't the basis of the district court's decision. I mean, if you go back down, you might ask for a ruling on that. But right now, we don't have a ruling on the executive orders.
Okay.
You didn't play music last night, right? I mean, you're subject to these executive orders.
We're subject to the executive orders, of course. Yes, the establishments were.
And the state does not, the order of the lower court does not apply to that.
The lower court addressed the analysis of the constitutional authority being an arbitrary nature under both Jacobson and intermediate scrutiny. We had argued that the constitutional authority to make it the conduct illegal in the first place didn't survive the muster of either analysis.
I mean, the question
is, this is a very strange case because on the one hand, the other side is already bound by an injunction in the state, so it doesn't make any difference. And on this side, you're already bound by executive orders, which we don't have before us, so it doesn't make any difference. So I'm not quite sure what one does in a situation where both sides are going to come out exactly the same way, regardless of what we do. Whether standing is more important than the fact that they're already bound, because that's a constitutional issue, in which case we rule against you, or we say there's no issue, in which case it's moot, in which case we don't do anything because it's moot. And then you win. But it's, It's very bizarre.
Is it correct that even with the preliminary injunction in place, your client is not performing?
My client is able to perform as an incidental music artist for
right.
free.
Well, okay. Yes. Well, isn't that better than nothing?
No, because my artist is a Hall of Fame musician that has spent 47 years gigging and performing it. His entire livelihood is
but
attached.
He cannot do those things even with the injunction in place because of the executive order.
The executive order was barring the concerts. These are just already licensed establishments, restaurants, bars, taverns. These aren't concert halls.
If the state were to eliminate the exception for incidental music, so that all music would be on the same playing field, do you then lose your First Amendment argument?
No, my client would be able to advertise his musical performances at the venues that he's contracted with. And he would be allowed to charge a ticket price for the admission to those shows and continue to earn his livelihood.
I don't understand that. I think Judge Chin's hypothetical is suggesting to you that the state would prohibit incidental music too. And so I don't know how your client performs if neither incidental music nor ticketed music can be performed. But they're treated the same.
He will not be able to perform in a show that is part of an advertiser hosted a ticketed event. So that's his prohibition of his First Amendment rights because he cannot perform that same show if he makes money from it or if it's advertised. When the facility itself is subject to all the other same rules. So we were challenging, again, the constitutional authority of Executive Order 202 and the guidance that said advertising music is illegal. That's what we challenged. And we challenged it under Jacobson and under intermediate scrutiny.
All right. Well, thank you both. We'll reserve decision on the motion, but we'll rule relatively quickly, I think.
Thank you.
The day calendar.